Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk. Maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
This is a Piccolo Podcast production.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Cricket Unfiltered. I'm Menes. I'm joined by Paul Dennett. It's our wrap-up of day one of the second test of the Border Gavaskar Trophy. It's coming to you from Delhi. Well, we're not, but the test is. Paul, Australia were bowled out today for 263, and India a none for 21 in reply. A thoroughly entertaining day's play.
Yeah, g'day, Menes. G'day, everyone. I'm exhausted. Long day. But yeah, you're right. I thought that was test cricket at its absolute best. It had periods of attractive scoring, some clumps of wickets. There was a nutritional period just after tea, but that was fascinating. And a really decent crowd. It wasn't a full house, but apparently it's 42,000 people stadium. It looked like there was probably about two-thirds full, and they made a fantastic atmosphere. Might be sold out for the next couple of days. And test cricket, when there's a really big crowd in, a decently motivated and energetic crowd in, it really adds to it. So I think that the summary of it is that at least Australia's in the game. You know, we didn't get blown out of the water today. We'll only know tomorrow what the total of 263 really is in context. But I thought that it was encouraging the way that the Australians bowled late on the day. We didn't get a wicket. Could have been worse, put it that way.
Yeah, so let's go back to the beginning of the day. There was a change for India with Shreyas Iyer coming back for Yadav. And Australia made a couple of changes. Now, we talked a lot about this stuff on our live YouTube show at the lunch break. But listeners, since then, I've read some comments from Tony Donohmade, one of the Australian selectors. So Travis Head came in for Matt Renshaw. Now, what Donohmade said was, Paul, that he came in because he's a fifth bowling option, not really anything to do with Renshaw's batting in Nagpur, which I think, what do you think of those comments?
Well, I mean, he's got a good point because we just don't have enough spin available. I mean, we've only got Lyon, Kuhneman, Murphy, Labuschagne and Smith, and we need that sixth spinner.
I'm so glad you said that because I thought that was complete. I don't know. I just thought that was just blatant BS from Donohmade. I mean, they basically made a mistake in the first test. They realised they needed to get Trav in there. Even though he didn't do much with the bat, and that was just a bit of funny talk. And Matt Kuhneman came in for Scott Boland, which I like that. Tony Donovan was asked about, you know, basically why Kuhneman leapfrogged Agar in the selection. And Donovan said that his red ball game is not quite where he wants it to be. Pretty sad story for Ashton Agar at the moment.
Well, it's gratifying for us because in that live lunchtime wrap, we speculated on what crazy theories they'd come up with. And that's it was quite gratifying that they sort of did that. Look, I agree that heads bowling is something that we did miss in the first test, and it's good to have him in this test. I just wonder how much bowling they're going to give him. I mean, he's literally the fourth spinning option. And I think that's a bit of a pity because I think he could actually bowl quite well on this pitch. I would much rather it if they just said, yeah, we probably got it wrong. We made a mistake and we've rectified it. But I suppose if you're in that position, you'd be tempted to try to come up with some reasons as well. Same with Ashton Agar. It's like, oh, you're only just discovering now that his red ball form's, not so good. I'm okay with the fact that Kuhneman's in the side. I'm okay with the fact that they had the courage to get rid of, to go in with only one quick, if that's the way that they judged the pitch. And it did look that way. Although Shami, after all was said and done, Shami took four wickets. And you look at this, it's the sort of pitch that maybe, in hindsight, Scott Boland probably wouldn't bowl that badly on.
Yeah, I did hear Peter Lawler, a friend of the podcast, on the commentary for SEN saying that this pitch had a bit more bounce in it than maybe we all thought. And that's certainly true. We'll talk about that in a moment. But just on selection, two players really were scraped in. So Nathan Lyon was selected despite the pressure you put on him. And, maybe... But you talk about off spinners. I mean, Head might be a better option. Lyon, I don't know how well he's bowling. And the other one was Pat Cummins, the Australian captain. Well, two big things came in to save him. Mitchell Starc wasn't fit and Cameron Green wasn't fit. And those two, I think they certainly changed the balance of this outfit. But I quite like it.
Yes, I think that I think you're being tongue-in-cheek there. That as much as we were talking about it, there was no prospect whatsoever that Cummins and Lyon weren't going to both be in the side. It's a bit disappointing that Green's injury hasn't allowed him to be in there. It would have been great to have him in there to give that bowling option as well. Starc, I think that his speed through the air is overemphasized the importance of it in Indian conditions. I think he's like all the quicks over there, he's a decent option, but I think it's spin where it's at. So
if they only played one fast bowler, like with this model, you could see Starc playing ahead of Cummins.
Well, if they're only going to play one fast bowler because of this model, I'd prefer Cummins the bowler than Starc the bowler. I prefer Starc's batting, although Cummins put together a pretty nice 30-odd today. And I was saying it sort of half seriously before. Look, given that the quicks, none of them seem to be all that effective, we might as well get Abbott or Nisa or someone who can genuinely bat.
All right, well, let's move on from selection. Congratulations to Cheteshwar Pujara. He started his 100th test match in Delhi, so that's a significant achievement. And, he's due to bat tomorrow and that could get ugly for the Australians if he bats all day. That first session today was just electric, wasn't it, Paul? You had David Warner given out in the first over, then getting it overturned on DRS. He then got hit on the head a couple of times. There was streaky boundaries. It was just incredible stuff.
Some of the marketing buzzwords in the early days of T20 was, every ball is a contest. There are 240 contests, and some traditionalists are like, oh God. But that's how it felt in that first session. Like every ball felt like something was going to happen. There was that sequence where I think it was Khawaja, two balls in a row that Ashwin bowled that were almost unplayable, and Khawaja's just gone bugger this. The next ball, he's jumped down the wicket and hit him straight back over his head for six. And it was a thrilling passage of play. As I think it was Sanjay Mendraker in commentary said, it was almost a shot of desperation, but it's a darn good shot. And there was just that feeling of something is going to happen at any time. So And for most of the session, it was Australia's session until that cataclysmic moment where we lost two wickets in the space of no time, and it could have been a third if it hadn't been overturned.
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, Australia got to none for 50. I don't know how they got there. I mean, you have to say David Warner looked out of sorts.
Yes, he did. And it's strange that he looked out of sorts against the quicks. That who would have thought that he'd get hit a couple of times, look a little bit uncomfortable against the short ball, then ultimately get out to Shammy when it was being Ashwin that you would have thought was going to do all the damage. So, yeah, not a good innings from him. And I feel sorry for him because the speculation is obviously going to rise. He's not out of things yet. He can score runs in the second innings. I think if Australia wins this game, then there'll be some gentler feelings towards him. But let's assume he goes out in the second innings, scratches around, performs poorly, and Australia loses. Then they, I think, would be more likely than not to drop him for the third test. If that's the case, then, you know, the way back into the side with the tour of England looming doesn't look so promising, you know. It's a possibility that Warner is playing his last test match.
Yeah, it was kind of sad that innings today. It reminded me a bit of sort of Justin Langer at the end at times. Justin Langer was sort of getting pinged on the head a few times. And yeah, just you never don't like to see sort of champion players games fall off, but it certainly looks to me it is. So Australia got to 1 for 91. Labuschagne and Khawaja looked like they were going to get Australia to lunch, but then you're right. Ashwin had Labuschagne out, LBW, and then two balls later, Ravi Ashwin went around the wicket to Steve Smith and bowled basically a beautiful arm ball, and Barrett took a good catch behind, and Smith was gone for a second ball duck. So Australia were three down at lunchtime, and I think after lunch, things kind of actually went better than I expected. After Head was out for 12, Khawaja and Hanscom batted pretty well. They put on 60, I think 59, sorry. And, you know, they looked good together.
Yeah, that was the partnership that really gave us solidity and stopped the rot. That there's that feeling of when Head went out that, oh, God, this could be over very, very quickly. We were jokingly talking about we might have to come back on at tea and do a wrap-up of Australia losing seven wickets in the second session. Hanscom was great. He batted really nicely, looked impressive, looked confident, and, really important contribution. Obviously, Khawaja played really, really well, was blossoming. And at the point when Khawaja got out, it was looking really good for Australia. And it was against the run of play. He'd hit a reverse sweep for four and then played the same shot to the next ball. Looked like he'd hit it even better. And I was just assuming in that split second it was going to crack into the boundary as well. And then it was an excellent catch at what is point, you know, to a reverse sweep. It's kind of more like square leg. But KL Rahul diving away, taking a great catch. And yes, Khawaja looked suitably mortified because, as I said, it looked like it was good for 100.
Yeah, that was sad because Australia needed someone to make like a big score to get Australia sort of over 300. And he was out for 81 off 125 balls, 12 fours and 1 6. But just a super catch from Rahul diving away to his right. Just stunning stuff. And then Carey came and went for a duck. He was gone, caught by Kohli off Ashwin. Kohli's held onto one. And then Hanscom batted beautifully. He made his first 50 in over 5 years. The last time he passed 50 for Australia in a test was when he made 82 in Bangladesh in 2017. So that was his fifth half century to go with his two test centuries. So that was a lovely return. So he made 72 not out. Cummins made a nice 33 off 59, three fours, two sixes. I don't think he went hard enough. I think one of the reasons he got out was he started to block a few.
I think I agree 100%. I was going to say the exact same thing. He came out and was defensive and I thought, oh, here we go. And then slog swept Ashwin for six and did it again a few overs later. It's almost like a man who's got nothing to lose does, you know, just has a go. And then suddenly, oh, actually, I'm going all right here. I better start playing orthodox cricket again. And he'd have been better off. I'm not criticising him at all because he played really well for 30-odd. But I agree that if you'd kept on going, that I think that would have been the right way. There's a curious passage after tea that it was a sort of like a, after a day of pulsating cricket, there was a bit of a stalemate. I don't know the exact number of overs and how few runs were scored, but nothing happened for a while. And it was good though to see Cummins get amongst the runs again for the first time in a while. And when he came out to bat, there was a feeling of God, we could lose these next few wickets in the space of no time. And a position that looked half decent could crumble away like it had done at Nagpur. So it was good that it didn't.
Yeah, the Cummins, that 33 was his highest score, I think, since the middle of last year. Murphy was out for a duck to Jadeja. Actually, Jadeja getting Khawaja, that was Jadeja's 250th test wicket. So terrific stuff for him. But you're right about the scoring slowing down. Hanscom got stuck a bit. Lyon made 10 off 26 before he was bowled by Shami. And then Kuhneman was bowled by Shami for six. So that left Australia 263. Hanscom was 72 not out. The one thing I will say is I don't know if you saw Jadeja get Hanscom out, and then it was a no ball, and that happened the first test when Jadeja got Smith. I mean, if I was the bowling coach, I'd be working on that.
Well, you know my position, the bowling coaches should be told when they arrive that if one bowler bowls a no ball in a test match, you'll be sacked immediately. Of course they should be working on that. The bowler should never bowl a no ball, but especially Jadeja, who bowls off of three steps and, you know, bowling spin. It's crazy. Yes, that was very they were a bit aggrieved about it for a second in the innings because on the big screen, I think they paused at a frame or two too late, and by then it looked like his heel had actually hovered back behind the line, but it was definitely a no ball. I don't understand why Todd Murphy's batting above Nathan Lyon. Obviously, Murphy can bat better than he has shown in this series so far, but he's coming out looking nervous and under pressure and not sure whether to attack or defend. Lyon, much like Cummins, should be being given the license to play his natural game. And he played a couple of nice shots, but still 10 off 26, that's not Nathan Lyon's go. And I know, yeah, you've got to support Hanscom and everything else. I just don't think that's the right way to play. Bump him up the order one and tell him, do what you normally do, sweep everything, play the hook shot if it's a short ball from the quicks. And that's when he's playing his best.
Yeah, agreed. So Australia were all out for 263 in 78.4 overs. So a pretty good effort. I just don't know what this score will be. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if India are 4 for 700 on the end of day three. Also, you know, the pitch was a bit up and down, so you never know tomorrow. But Shami took 4 for 60, Ashwin 3 for 57, Jadeja 3 for 68. So then India had 9 overs to survive, and they were none for 21 at stumps with Sharma 13, Rahul 4 not out. There was a little bit of late drama with Sharma giving out caught in close in the last over off Lyon. He referred it straight away, and he didn't get any bat on it, so he survived. But I thought, you know, India looked okay getting to stumps.
Tell you what, if they do finish at 4 for 700, I'm really going to have a great weekend. Jeez, that's reminiscent of 2001, Dravid and Lakshman. But the one good thing is that if we do sit through India compiling 4 for 700 over the next 2 days, you do feel virtuous that you've sat through that. Like, it's like, aren't I noble? I have, you know, so I'll feel cleansed if that does happen, but I hope it doesn't.
We'll certainly see a lot of head bowling if they do that.
I think if Smith starts to bowl, we know we're in trouble. That's it. Yeah, so if they're throwing the ball to Steve Smith, that's probably not a good sign.
No, and we didn't see Marnus open the bowling. They went straight for Kuhneman with the new ball.
Yes, I think because they knew that they'd look like idiots if Labuschagne opened with Seam. I thought Kuhneman looked really good. Only a few overs, but he had a couple of like quarter chances that on another day would have taken wickets. He was accurate. I was very very bullish about the way he bowled.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to convince me. I mean, everyone knows because they keep saying it, but I said at the Big Bash a few weeks ago, send Kuhneman to India. He's got that sort of hit the pitch hard, bowls a bit quicker than a traditional Aussie spinner. And let's see how it goes. We need that variety to go with Lyon and Murphy if they're going that way. So I thought the only thing I will say is there's a bit of pressure on KO Rahul. Hasn't looked great this series. They've got Shubman Gill breathing down his neck. So just a little bit of a subplot to look out for tomorrow.
And that the way that Sharma referred to the for the DRS, the commentators talked about it, but it was an emphatic bang of that sign. It could almost be charged with showing a bit of dissent for that. I don't think he should be. I think that there's nothing in it. But again, what a triumph for DRS. Every time that people say, "Oh, DRS today," Warner was given out on a shocker, was able to review it, and everything's fine. And the same with Sharma. If those had been both given out, then the bad blood, the controversy, the unpleasantness and whatever else, and just the sense of unfairness would have been so different. So, yes, once again, DRS is vindicated as a wonderful thing.
That referral had more of an air of like a sort of up yours to the umpire from Sharma, didn't it?
It did.
Good, I'm good. So I just want to ask you, because I was trying to decide at the end of the day, who won today's play? Like if there was a winner from the two teams, I'd go maybe slightly India.
Yeah. Yes, I think so, but only slightly. And with a rider that you kind of need a bit more sample, a bit more of a sample size of what India is going to do on this pitch to know. It's a bit of a cop-out, but ask me at lunch tomorrow and I'll have a much more informed opinion. But, yeah, I think India slightly. But then again, given that the predictions of Australia getting absolutely blown away, the fact that at least we're in the contest, I think that, you know, if you'd offered this to Cummins before the day's play, he'd have been uncertain whether to take it or not. It's a 50-50 sort of situation, I think.
I think if Australia had taken a wicket tonight, then it would have been sort of honours even, but I think India slightly edged it. So sort of going by the way Australia traditionally plays in the subcontinent, you know, and credit to Khawaja and Hanscom, played beautifully, but that 263 means we'll probably make about 120 in the second inning. So we've got to think about that. So 380 is the runs Australia's sort of playing with. So they've got to come out hard tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm fearful that we'll see something similar to what we saw in Nagpur, where Australians will be okay, get a couple of wickets here and there, but maybe that the India's middle order will come good and they'll eventually start to sort of slowly bat Australia out of the game. But you just never know. The pitch, I can't complain about the pitch. I thought it was an excellent spectacle, and by and large it played okay, but it certainly is spinning, and there are a couple of balls there that were bouncing off the length. One rolled along the ground towards the end. So I'll tell you what, it's a lucky one, the toss. We got thrashed in the first game. We might end up losing this game, and that's having won both tosses. It was a very good toss to win, and that's going to still stand us in some good stead, I hope.
Well, that's our wrap-up of the first day's play in the second test. Just a few little things. Firstly, if you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube channel and rate and review the show on whatever podcast platform you're listening. I want to talk about on the weekend with Paul this story about the Chetan Sharma sting, the India's chairman of selectors. Now, Paul and I go pretty hard at Australia's selectors, but this is next level. So we're going to park this and talk about this over the weekend. And I also wanted to just let all the listeners know there's a really important game of T20 cricket happening Saturday night, Australian time. It's in the T20 World Cup, England women versus India's women's team. They're both topping group two. And the winner should top the group and then avoid Australia in the semi-final. So if you're an England or Indian fan and you'd really want your side to win that clash and you'd rather face the Aussies in the final than the semis. So a lot of cricket coming your way. Paul, thanks very much for this wrap-up. I know you've had a long week. Where can the listeners find you?
On TikTok at paul.dennett. I'm not sure if there's a dot or not, actually, at this time. I think it's paul.dennett. Hopefully I'll be more active. I've posted a few Bradman videos. hope to do a few more. Maybe over the weekend I'll do a few. So look me there or on Twitter at @PaulDennett_.
And I'm at @AManners, and we'll be doing live YouTube shows regularly throughout the test at lunch breaks. And we'll also be doing our daily podcast wrap. So thanks everybody for listening to Cricket Unfiltered, and we'll be back tomorrow.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.